Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. In a couple of minutes, we'll get back to your calls about the mayor's race and others of the 12 candidates. Well, 11 candidates will be joining us in the last 40 minutes of this hour. But first, it's open mic. Charlie Baker, as you know, used to join us every Tuesday at 1. Now that he's jumped into the governor's race on the Republican side, we've turned his seat and his mic over to the Democratic gubernatorial candidates. So far, we've been joined by Juliette Kayyem, Don Berwick. Today, Joseph Avalone joins us. Joe is a surgeon. Currently, he's corporate senior vice president at ParXL International. Joe, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to be a replacement for Charlie.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. But I got to ask you, I mean, I've been a reporter forever, covering politics forever. You've had a spectacular career. You know, Harvard Medical School, and you're a surgeon, and you were a big deal at Blue Cross, COO of Blue Cross, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then you're at this other firm now that does all this work in chemical trials and stuff like that. Why do you want to run for governor? It's grueling. It's thankless. Get battered around. Why do you want to do this?
Well, that's a great question. I want to do it because I think I can make a very big difference. I think my background actually in the private sector is what I'm bringing, and a lot of new ideas. And it's, I think the state, given what it needs to do for the rest of this decade, needs somebody with a background like mine. I think I can make the difference. I've always been interested in public policy, lifelong Democrat, been on lots of campaigns. Was even Paul Tsongas' healthcare advisor when I was younger during his presidential campaign. So I've always wanted to make a difference in the public sector, but you know, I've been making a living and raising kids, and now I know with my background I can make a difference.
Okay, so your kids are all grown up. They won't be crying if dad goes off on the campaign trail. Okay.
They all grew up. They all got married within the last 13 months. Can
wow.
You believe that?
Wow. Well, I hope they weren't all girls.
The last one was a girl. That was a big deal. But
okay. Always take out a second mortgage.
So one of the big things that you've talked about is you know, everybody talks about when the public schools are struggling, and Massachusetts does better than a lot of other states, but we're still struggling. You've talked about extraordinary measures to fix failing and at-risk schools. Yeah. So what would those extraordinary measures be? Are you for more freedom from the rules, or what's your deal?
Well, first of all, I think you're right on. I think one of the two biggest issues facing our state is closing that achievement gap. I mean, every year, yes, we have good statistics and therefore a very good school system when you look at it nationally, but we also have some of the largest achievement gaps in the country. And that means every year thousands of kids are essentially not going to be able to participate in the new economy or have a fulfilling life. And every year that goes by, it's another number of thousands. So this is something we've got to do as a high priority, and we can do. Extraordinary measures it's going to take. It's going to take help from the state. I'm going to be putting my K-12 policy on my website within a couple weeks, but it'll have some extraordinary measures like funded pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds in the low-performing districts. It'll have extended day in the low-performing schools. It'll also have innovation grants for people to try new things. That we would judge, and I'm going to fund a fair amount of it out of a kind of a social investment funding mechanisms where we'll establish a fund, but especially with the leverage that pre-K gets, you can get a big return within 4 or 5 years as soon as you can show that people are literate at grade 3. That's a huge deal, and I think we can sort of pay back the fund from the savings of lack of repeating years and lowered special needs costs.
Just one more thing about the schools before we go, because these are kind of the hot-button issues with schools, things like merit pay for teachers as opposed to everybody getting paid the same amount. How about that? And how about like more charter schools, because they are showing some great successes?
So I think what we need is a lot of flexibility with the at-risk 3 schools and the 4 schools. And rather than prescribing in each school system what is the answer, what I want is a high priority for the state. I'm going to be my own education czar. I'm going to have my departmental heads meet with me monthly. We're going to have tracking metrics. We're going to set our objectives, which is close the achievement gap by the end of the decade and make everybody career college ready in the state. And I'm going to have monthly reviews. We're going to have tracking metrics, and we're going to meet this goal.
Have the teachers' unions, the Mass Federation of Teachers and the Mass Teachers Association, been good for public education in Massachusetts or not so good, Joe Avalone?
I think the teachers' unions vary. The two of them are quite different. And rather than get into specifics, I think there are moments when the teachers can, I think, come along. And then there are moments when I think at least one of the teachers' unions has probably retarded progress.
Whoa. Which teachers' union has retarded progress and on what issue?
I don't think we need to go into it. I think
Why don't we need to go into it?
Well, because I'm going to take every case as it is, and it depends on the school system.
No, but you say there is a specific example that troubles you. You don't want to share
with
us?
I think at least some school systems have resisted merit pay or other kinds of evaluation, and I think we got to move in that direction.
You know, you said help from the state, and then you talked about a funding mechanism. A lot of what you said sounds like what Deval Patrick was saying when he was pitching his $2 billion.
No, I don't think so, because I'm not calling for a lot of new taxes.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. He said he wanted roughly $1 billion for education, particularly early childhood education, $1 billion for transportation. In your announcement video, you talk a lot about transportation infrastructure.
Yeah.
Should I assume, based on what you just said, that you did not support his $2 billion
no,
initiative?
No, I did not support.
Why?
Because I've been all over this state. I've been in 105 towns, had over 250 events, and there are big pockets of very high unemployment still in the state. In fact, the state is so uneven right now that as the economy improves, it's not going to necessarily improve in lots of our areas. So I thought it was the wrong time to have any kind of a broad-based tax. And so I did agree ultimately with the idea of a more limited infrastructure tax, which is what the legislature did. I also was dead set against the software tax. And as soon as it came out, I had a press release against it, and I have worked actively against it. I know I was the only Democratic candidate that came out against it in the beginning.
We should also say, for those who don't know, we're going to discuss that with the governor tomorrow. The three Democratic leaders on Beacon Hill have agreed to repeal that, which they just did a couple of months ago. We're speaking to Joe Avalone. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor in 2014.
You know, you were a surgeon and you worked with Blue Cross. You have a unique perspective on healthcare in Massachusetts. You said we need to change healthcare delivery right here in Massachusetts, where we've had universal health care for quite some time. What's wrong with the system?
You know, I think one of the things that works in Massachusetts is universal health care. I'm proud that we have it. It's great that we had it. We were forerunners. And it's really interesting to listen to the national debate with all the angst when I think we can show, hey, it works right here in Massachusetts. One of the things that works is universal health care. Step two is controlling health care costs. That was always going to be step two. We're at step two. What we do have to do now is get to a more stable base of affordable health care, and we can do it. We have to change the way our medical delivery system is organized and move towards larger organized systems of care. There are known models around the country on how to do that. We just have to have the political will to do it, and we will do it.
You know, we talked to Bill Walczak a couple of minutes ago, and unlike Bill, while you come from the private sector, you actually served as a selectman, did you not, in Wellesley
for
X number of years?
Yeah.
But selectman's one thing. I was a city councilor for one term, so I know it's different.
Stella.
Well, I retired undefeated, Marjorie. Let's put it that way. And all of a sudden, you're running for the big job in Massachusetts. Just like, what's it like, all of a sudden, putting yourself out there as opposed to doing what you did in the private sector? What's it like for you?
First of all, I know Bill Walczak and know him well, and I know his experiences, and I heard his his answer. It's been absolutely exhilarating. I've been, as I said, 105 towns, been at it for 8 months. I've met literally thousands of people, and I can tell you it is wide open. It is a wide open race, so I don't feel like I'm running to catch up with anybody.
People don't treat you like a – I mean, I don't mean this at all in a disrespectful way, but Martha Coakley, big name. Steve Grossman, big name. Juliette Kayyem, well, not in that class in terms of profile, CNN, Globe, et cetera. Don't you get personally set back or offended when people say, how can you possibly run against these huge political figures in Massachusetts?
You know what I find? I literally find it's either kind of – reruns versus new ideas. And I think people are looking for new ideas. They're looking for new, and they're very willing to talk about new people. I don't think people are all that interested in reruns. And I think that's what we're going to get with probably Steve, Martha, and Charlie. Whereas I think I'm new and people are very interested in that.
Speaking of Charlie, you have a healthcare background. You're at Blue Cross. Yeah. Charlie's private sector claim to fame is rescuing Harvard Pilgrim.
Could be a battle between Blue Cross and Harvard Pilgrim.
Isn't that strange?
From virtual bankruptcy. How would you rate the job that the likely Republican nominee did when he was at Harvard Pilgrim?
You know, he's going to have to speak. First of all, I've known Charlie for 20 years. But Charlie was also there when it actually went into the hole. So the mythology about how he saved it from bankruptcy is interesting since he was kind of on deck when it got into its big problem. I wouldn't blame that all on him, but he was there. And then essentially the state got him out of the problem. Essentially they revalued the real estate, and Harvard Pilgrim raised its rates very aggressively for years, and that started to get it back. So a lot of help from a lot of people, including the state, was how that happened.
Do people ask you for a quick diagnosis on the campaign trail?
Yeah, all the time. I have to say, all the time.
They do. Do you look at
this new jobs? Yeah. I'm running for jobs primarily. This new jobs thing is interesting, but I have a spot on my arm.
You know,
I would like to say, though,
what?
the main reason I'm running is I run a global business. Right now, we have 15,000 employees in 50 countries. I'm responsible for about 11,000 of them and the P&L. I have a global workforce. I work in the global economy every day. This is what we need to do in the state. We need to bring new industries here. And I know that we can do it because I know how my own company with me works with other university systems in other countries. And we can do a lot more here to create the middle skills, the strategic skills. It's the middle management skills, the middle level of engineering skills. And we could bring a lot of new industries here. And that's what's going to bring back the gateway cities. That's really the focus of my campaign.
How do you rate Deval Patrick's, what is it now, six and a half years? How do you rate the Patrick administration?
I think he was a very good governor in an incredibly difficult time. I mean, this recession, let's not forget, was devastating. And state governments are exquisitely sensitive to recessions. Revenues go way down. Need goes way up. I think he got us through a very tough time.
Joe Avalone, what's your website?
AvaloneForGovernor.com.
And before you leave us, what's the one thing, since you are just getting introduced, what's the one most important thing people need to know about you as they begin to consider you as one of the four, five, six for the Democratic nomination? What's the single most important thing?
I've created thousands of jobs over 30 years. I can bring new jobs to Massachusetts.
Joe
That's
Avalone,
a big thing.
It's a pleasure.
We all
Thanks
want
so
new
much
jobs in Massachusetts.
For coming
Thank
in. We assume
much.
We'll see a lot during this campaign.
I hope so. Invite me back. I'd love to be here.
We'd love to have you back. Joe Avalone, Democratic candidate for governor of Massachusetts. Thank
okay.
you, Joe.
Okay. And
thank
to
you
learn,
guys.
As you guys just said, but I'll repeat it for anybody who didn't hear it the first time around, if you want to know more about Joe's campaign, go to AvaloneForGovernor.com, and it's A-V-A-L-L-O-N.
A-V-E.
A-V-E. Oh, my God. All right. You spell it for us. I goofed it up. Spell it for us.
A-V-E-L-L-O-N-E.
That was just a test to see if you're paying attention.
Okay. Thank you very much. I apologize for that. Thank you very much, Joe, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.